Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. My guest today is Scott Ritter. And as we talk, our conversation today, the House is voting on impeachment. So, Scott, I'm sure you have thoughts about this. What do you think?
Well, I mean, first, you know, I have mixed feelings on this. First of all, if the president is indeed guilty of committing an act of sedition, which, you know, by looking at the evidence that's been laid out, it's not implausible for someone to think such a charge could be levied, then he must be impeached, not should be impeached, not. You know, I'd like him to be impeached. He must be impeached, and he must be prevented from ever holding office again. The problem is, you know, they've accused this man of committing an act of sedition in terms of inciting a mob to assault the U.S. Capitol to disrupt constitutionally mandated tasks set forth under the 12th Amendment. You know, so it's an assault on the Constitution, on constitutional due process. And yet, Congress today, in carrying out this rushed impeachment, has assaulted the very Constitution it claims to be defending. I mean, this is an absurdity in extremis. This is a rushed kangaroo court, you know, that's going forward with a heavily politicized decision that has nothing to do with the facts, nothing to do with justice, and everything to do with political revenge of the Democrats against the Republicans. And by taking this path, the Democrats are, you know, actually doing far more harm to America than anything Donald Trump was alleged to have done last week.
Why do you say far more harm?
Well, because the bottom line is we have 75 million Americans who voted for Donald Trump. Many of these people believe that the election was stolen. Let's just stop right there and say Joe Biden won the election. Joe Biden won. It was a fair and free election. Joe Biden is the legitimate president of the United States. That doesn't matter because tens of millions of Americans don't believe he is, and this is a problem. And the way you solve this problem is to find a means of communicating with these people so that they can be confident in the election result. If you call them liars, if you call them simpletons, if you call them political stooges, if you call them, you know, whatever name in the book, you know, denigrating their beliefs, all you do is further isolate them, further alienate them, and create the condition where there will be a permanent political divide in this country that tends towards violence in terms of resolving disputes. That's what I mean by far more dangerous. The president shouldn't have done what he did. There should not have been tens of thousands of people marching on the Capitol, taking it over, resulting in five deaths. But the Congress, the Democratic-controlled Congress, by rushing this impeachment, and I'm not saying the president shouldn't be impeached. I'm saying Congress should have held a trial. Congress should have laid out the facts. Congress should have allowed witnesses. Congress should have allowed people to talk, because then the impeachment would be seen as legitimate, not this politicized kangaroo court. But by taking this route, Congress is ensuring that there's a permanent political constituency that does not support the constitutionally mandated governance in the United States. And this is a very dangerous thing. I liken it to the stab in the back legend that was created in Germany after World War I, where the German people were led to believe that the army wasn't defeated, that somehow they were betrayed. And this led to a total the disenfranchisement of the German people psychologically, and allowed the rise of Adolf Hitler. I'm not saying that Adolf Hitler is going to come to power here in the United States. What I am saying, though, is that the government of the United States will no longer hold a position of trust and confidence in close to 40, maybe 50% of the American population.
You're a keen observer of politics. Do you think, in your lifetime, have you ever seen divided and this bad before?
No, I mean, we used to have, I thought when Ronald Reagan was elected, I thought that that was it. You know, we were looking at, you know, extremely divisive politics. You know, but then you reflect back on it and you realize that Tip O'Neill, the Speaker of the House, worked with Reagan and his chief of staff and the Republicans of Congress to get legislation passed that was for the good of the country. So, you know, that during Bill Clinton's time when Newt Gingrich came in, I said, man, this is bad. The Republicans and Democrats aren't even talking to each other. They're not working with each other. When Barack Obama was elected, you saw Republicans say, we will never respect this man as president. And the same thing happened when Donald Trump was elected. The Democrats started the resistance movement from day one. All of that pales in comparison to what we see here today.
So do you think it could be worse, or do you think we hit rock bottom right now?
Oh, God, no. I mean, rock bottom is it will be measured in hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of debt. That's rock bottom. If we have a civil war in this country, which is the direction we're heading, I mean, I'm not being, you know, this is not hyperbole. This is not an exaggeration. If we continue down the path we're heading, it's a path that can only lead to civil war. And a civil war in the United States, armed to the teeth like it is, with access to modern weaponry, with a military that will be divided, will destroy the country and kill hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people. That's rock bottom. That's the direction we're heading. The idiots in Congress who sat up there today and gave their shrill, impassioned, politicized speeches think they're doing something for the good of the country. They're not. They're only deepening, you know, a huge rift that already exists amongst the American people, ensuring that that rift will never be bridged. And permanent political divide with, you know, passions this inflamed can only lead to violence.
What do you think can ignite something more horrendous than what we're seeing right now?
Well, I mean, look, I don't want to get predictive because then people will say, oh, well, you know, he's advocating for that or this.
Okay.
We have reports from the FBI that say there will be armed protesters making an appearance at every state capitol in all 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is one idiot on either side to pull the trigger, and then you're going to have a firefight. And all it takes is one firefight in one location to generate a firefight in the next location, and then you're going to have generalized outbreaks of violence that will spread to the streets. I mean, we're that close. We're that close to this happening. Americans aren't used to this. We go to bed at night in the comfort of our homes. We wake up in the morning surrounded by a cocoon of comfort that you know is sustained by the fact that we can drive on roads that are well maintained. We can go to offices that are heated. We can buy groceries in well-stocked grocery stores. We can disappear and escape reality by watching television and listening to music. And so we're lulled into this false sense of complacency. But the fact of the matter is, we live in a tinderbox, and all it takes is one match to set this thing off.
Well, comparable to 1914, then you think?
Well, no, I think more comparable. Again, it took time, and I'm not, you know, I mean, right now we you know, it's a very dangerous situation. But let's say we get through the inauguration, and there isn't large scale violence. People will say, well, hey, you know, we dodged a bullet there. No. And because Joe Biden's inauguration will only cement in the minds of tens of millions of Americans that the election was stolen, that their voice doesn't matter, that they've been disenfranchised, and they no longer believe in the government of the United States of America. And this you know, is going to create a problem. This is a cancer that is going to manifest itself down the road. And that's why I liken it to 1919 in Germany at the end of World War I, where the German people felt betrayed. They felt that they had been stabbed in the back by their government, that their military had not been defeated on the battle, that they could have fought and won this war. And this led to disillusionment that, when combined with economic difficulties, led to the rise of Adolf Hitler and the National Socialist Party. You know, we already have economic difficulties right now. You combine that with your widespread disillusionment among tens of millions of disenfranchised Americans, it's a recipe for disaster.
You became, I want to use the word famous, although maybe that's not the right word, in the early 2000s, when you talked about weapons of mass destruction, that it was a fabrication. Liz Cheney is treated like a saint today. Everybody seems to think she's courageous, she's bold, she's wonderful. But her father perpetrated a lie where many, many people got killed. How do you feel about that today?
Well, I mean, I despise Dick Cheney. I used to be a big fan when he was Secretary of Defense during the Gulf War. I actually applauded him for his wise leadership of the Defense Department and the fact that he said, among other things, the war's over. We liberated Kuwait. We're not moving on Baghdad, because once we occupy Baghdad, we own Iraq, and we don't have a plan for that. I mean, that was extraordinarily wise thinking in 1991. In 2002, 2003, he went off the rails, and he advocated for an illegal war of aggression upon a manufactured lie that he knew was a lie, that was sold to get Congress and the American people to support a war of aggression, a war, an illegal war with no justification. So Dick Cheney's a war criminal. I would really like it if he went down in history, recognized officially as such, but he won't. He'll die. He'll be, feted and praised, and he'll have his name in the history books. And his daughter has a political career solely because of her father. I'm a big fan of the sins of the parents don't go down to the children, that you are your own person and you should be judged on your own account. But we need to acknowledge that Liz Cheney would not be a congresswoman in the state of Wyoming if it weren't for her father. She didn't get there on her own merits. She rode on his coattails, and she's an extraordinarily conservative member of Congress whose policies I don't necessarily support, but it doesn't matter. She represents the state of Wyoming, and the Wyoming citizens have elected her time and time again, and she's risen to be the number three person in the Republican Congress, a person of who has a reputation of being a solid lawmaker and such. And so when she said she's going to vote in favor of impeachment, that's been picked up by the Democrats and the in the media as is sort of she's now been sainted, Saint Liz, because she came out against the president. But again, I just remind Liz Cheney and all other so-called conservative Republicans who have been insulted or somehow bothered by what the president did last week. And again, I am insulted and bothered by what the president did last week. I'm not minimizing it, but I remind them that the Constitution calls for due process. And even though impeachment is an inherently political exercise that's conducted on its own rules, those rules are supposed to conform with due process of an election. You witnesses, you have statements, you have evidence presented, you have a chance for cross-examination. This is the way it's supposed to work. None of that happened. So this isn't so much as an impeachment as it is a politicized lynching. Yes, Donald Trump may be guilty of what he did. I believe he probably is guilty. But in the United States, you are cloaked with the presumption of innocence until your guilt has been determined. And all they've done is rush forward and make allegations that aren't sustained by fact. This is a problem, especially when you remember that Donald Trump isn't just an individual, but he's the leader of a movement that comprises tens of millions of Americans who will see this impeachment not as an act of justice, but an act of revenge, and revenge not against just the president, but against them. Remember, these are the deplorables, the basket of deplorables that mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton condemned when she ran in 2016. These are the people that hold on to their guns and their God, according to Barack Obama in 2008. I mean, the Democrats have pretty much said, we despise you. We disdain you. We want to disenfranchise you. And by acting in this rushed manner, that's exactly the message that's been received by these supporters of Donald Trump.
Do you think that Joe Biden has the wherewithal to govern a country that's so divided, and it might be a powder keg? Do you think he's got the wherewithal to do it?
Well, he might. Joe Biden might have the ability to see compromise. He's already indicated that he will be looking for bipartisan support on critical legislation. He's reaching across the aisle. But Joe Biden in this case isn't the problem. You know, I mean, Joe Biden ran an election and he won. And that result has been criticized and called fraudulent, but no evidence has been put forward that sustains those allegations. Joe Biden isn't the problem. The problem is Congress. The problem is Nancy Pelosi. The problem is this coterie of revenge-minded anti-Trumpers who led a resistance began 19 minutes after President Trump was inaugurated, as Jim Jordan reminded us in his opening speech. 19 minutes after the inauguration, the Washington Post ran a story quoting senior Democrats as saying the impeachment of President Trump has begun. So that's the problem. It's Congress that's the problem. It's Nancy Pelosi that's the problem. It's the Democrats in the House and the Senate that are the problem, not Joe Biden. Joe Biden's going to find that this Democratic-controlled Congress is uncontrollable because they don't believe in good policy. They believe in shrill politics. And what we saw today was nothing more than a manifestation of shrill politics. The second impeachment of the president, so Wolf Blitzer can stand and look at the American people and say, this is historic. No president has been impeached twice in the history of our country. But the first mm-hmm. impeachment was a political joke, and this one is as well. The impeachment is only embarrassing if the people view the impeachment as embarrassing. But when tens of millions of Americans view this impeachment as a political exercise in branding a scarlet letter on somebody that maybe doesn't deserve it, then you don't get the impact that you want. All you do is further enrage and harden the political divide.
Let's go back to 2008. Wasn't it Mitch McConnell that said, we'll do everything within our power to ensure that Obama is a one-term president, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Republicans are as guilty of this as the Democrats are. I mean, Newt Gingrich started this. The Tip O'Neill, the man, the ultimate compromise man in Washington, D.C., was a Democrat. And he was a strong Democrat with strong Democratic principles. But he was also an American politician who understood that in order to govern, you have to make compromise. Newt Gingrich, when he came in the mid-1990s, basically said, it's our way or the highway. The Republican Revolution is going to sweep aside the Democrats. They don't matter. And this was carried on by Mitch McConnell in the Senate. I mean, we saw Mitch McConnell. He not only said Barack Obama's going to be a one-term president, he said the other day, if we get the Georgia seats, we will never cooperate with Joe Biden, ever, on anything. So the Republicans are as guilty of obstructionism, partisan politics, as the Democrats are. The difference is the Republicans haven't gone out of the way to destroy a politician. Mitch McConnell may have said we're going to work to make Barack Obama a one-term president, but he didn't, start a lie about Barack Obama working with the Russians. He didn't seek to impeach Barack Obama based upon one of the many phone calls he made. I mean, Barack Obama murdered an American citizen in Yemen using a drone strike without any constitutional authority. That's impeachable offense. But they didn't do that. They let Barack Obama govern, and he governed to such an extent that he was reelected for another 4-year term. So the Republicans are as guilty of being politically obstructive, but they're not as guilty of being politically destructive like the Democrats are. The Democrats are about the politics of destruction, especially today.
So you predicted January 6th. You had said right on my show that there would be violence on January 6th, and you were totally on the money on that one. Do you think there'll be violence before Inauguration Day?
Again, the problem is I don't want to be seen as advocating violence. I don't advocate violence. I'm against violence. I wish everybody would just shut up and go home. But again, if I'm putting on my intelligence analyst hat, I'd say that there's a better chance of there being violence prior to the inauguration. There's a chance of not being violence. That tempers are so high and passions are so high. And what happened today only adds fuel to the fire. This is a very dangerous situation, what's happened here. The Democrats and the media are gloating, but they don't realize that they're basically walking into a trap of their own making. They keep saying they don't want political violence, but they keep doing things that are going to result in a self-fulfilling prophecy. Where they say we don't want it, but it's going to happen. Therefore, we're going to keep doing things that ensure it happens. So I'm very concerned that there's going to be somebody who pulls a trigger at one of these armed protests outside the Capitol. And the cops are on a hair trigger alert as well. So they're going to get pushy. And, when you get pushy cops combined with, hyper-sensitive, enraged people, not too many good things come out of that.
So, there was talk that the law enforcement people in Washington, D.C. were somehow in on this thing. Do you agree?
Well, I don't know. I mean, again, the benefit of a trial and an investigation is we get the facts out there. I'm loathe to make an accusation based upon partial or incomplete information. There is information out there on the internet and being shown on TV that suggests that there might have been collusion between certain members of Congress and some of the people who participated in the January 6th assault on the Capitol. But again, we don't convict people based upon what appears on social media. We arrest people, we try them, we charge them, and based upon evidence that meets a certain standard. And there's a lot of stuff out there that may eventually reach that standard. But to sit here today and make conclusions based upon, again, not just incomplete evidence, but evidence that is being manipulated by different factions to achieve a political purpose. The fact that a congressman may have given a tour to people on January 5th does not automatically equate to facilitating the reconnaissance of the attack on the Capitol. It could become that, but you can't just automatically jump there. Because the congressman is permitted to give tours to people of the Capitol building. There's nothing inherently illegal about that. Another issue that came up, we talk about the president inciting revolt. I jumped on that bandwagon early, and I'm starting to backtrack on that one, not because I feel that he should have did what he did, but the fact of the matter is the president was still speaking to the crowd when the first wave of protesters entered the Capitol building. So there is no cause and effect relationship between the president and the protesters. The protesters were, some of them were pre-programmed to do this assault, regardless of what the president said. And that changes a lot. It doesn't make the president smart. It's still stupid what he did, but it suddenly throws into question whether or not he committed sedition, whether or not he actually directed a mob to attack the Capitol. If the attack took place before he finished speaking, it becomes very difficult to make that, to find that causal connectivity. So I think that Congress had the opportunity to get to the bottom of all this through an impeachment process, which is justified based upon the allegations put forward. But remember, initiating an articles of impeachment doesn't mean the president's impeached. It's possible that in the process of examining the issue at question, you find that the president's conduct does not warrant impeachment. And then the vote will be, not in favor of going forward. This is what Congress should have done. They should have held this hearing. They should have gotten the facts on the table. They should have laid everything out so that they made the right decision and the American people would be confident that it was the right decision. Right now, 40-some-odd percent of the American people think that what just happened was a political sham, and that's not good. When we're talking about charging the President of the United States with sedition and you don't have support of 100% of the American people, you've got a problem.
So, Scott, we're almost out of time. We have a week to go with Donald Trump, and then we're going to have Joe Biden as our president. And I'm sure that everything is not going to be hunky-dory once he becomes president. So I'd like to have further discussions with you when the new administration takes office, because I think it's going to be pretty interesting. So real quick, give yourself a plug. Tell our listeners who you write for and how they can get your articles.
Well, I write for a number of outlets, but the primary one is RT, Russia Today. And if you just Google Scott Ritter at RT, you'll come to my site and you'll see all the articles that I've published. I actually just published one today that discussed the issue of impeachment and addressed many of the topics that we discussed today.
Thanks, Scott. I look forward to talking with you again. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you like the show, All Exits Closed, follow us on Twitter. Have a wonderful day. Bye.
Bye-bye.